Our scripture lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Again, that's Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Hear now the words of God. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, that is Jesus, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning is the beginning of our country music sermon series, and I will freely acknowledge a couple of things. One, I'm not the most knowledgeable country music person. So if your favorite artist is excluded, it's because I don't know enough songs, okay? You may notice that my repertoire tends to lend itself more towards mid to early 90s, and that's because that's when I was hearing it on the radio, and I would wake up in the morning for WTOE in Spruce Pine, we had a very odd radio station, so we'd have, you know, classic rock and then Garth Brooks and then George Strait, and then we'd have more classic rock, because it was basically just what the DJ liked, which was wonderful. You don't get that anymore, right? You know, everything has to be perfectly chosen to appeal to the widest range of people. But so to today, our scripture, or our sermon, is called Friends in Low Places. And so you read the first of the scriptures this morning, the Christ hymn, right? Christ, though he was God, did not cling to his rights as God, but became obedient unto death, right? He came and lived among us, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, so that we might have everlasting life, right? That is a beautiful, beautiful hymn, and it encapsulates, right? It's a lot like John 3:16. It's a lot like the Apostles' Creed. It takes what we believe about Jesus, and it puts it into a bite-sized morsel, right? And it's one of the earliest, as I said before, it's one of the earliest hymns about Jesus. Now, we love things like Amazing Grace and all those, right? Beautiful hymns, beautiful songs. But they've been being written for thousands of years already. And that's an amazing thing to think about, right? That even when Paul was writing Philippians back in like the first century, that we were already composing hymns to Christ. And I want you to think a little bit about where the hymn tunes come from, okay? So there's all these stories about songs and where their tunes come from, right? We're going to sing a song at the end of worship today that has a tune that some of you will recognize from other hymns and from classical music. It's called Finlandia, and you'll say, "Oh, well, that's, you know," and I've already forgotten which hymn it is, other than the one we're going to sing. But you'll have heard it on movies and things like that. And Be Still My Soul. That's right. Be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. But you'll recognize it from that. And then sometimes, have you ever been listening to the radio and you hear, this happened to me in the 90s with Ice Ice Baby, right? Okay. You may remember that song. You may not, but you know, the bass line is the bass line from Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen. And so you hear it at the beginning and you're like, "All right, like, personally, I love Under Pressure. It's a great song. It's one of the, like, to me, the greatest rock and roll songs ever." And it starts out, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, "All right, this is good." And then it's Vanilla Ice, and it's just so disappointing, right? But certain tunes are like that. There are tunes that we recognize that get reused over and over and over. There are apocryphal stories on July 4th about how the National Anthem's tune was originally a drinking song. Now, I've seen things that say that it's one way or another, you know, and that could account for why it's so difficult to sing, right? because you get a few in you and you can sing anything, right? Because it doesn't have to be good, right? But the point is, and there's also, there's absolutely some truth to this, that some of Charles Wesley's hymns that we sing in church were, he wrote poems, and that they were later set to the tunes of popular music. Now, in those days, where was your popular music performed?
Church.
It was performed at the pub. Okay, your church music was performed at church, and that's good and beautiful and wonderful, okay, but that wasn't the same thing, right? The subjects were probably different, right? The people singing it, in some cases, were different. You may have been at both, but yet, just because the tune had an origin that maybe wasn't super holy didn't mean that you couldn't put something beautiful to that tune. And that's kind of the spirit with which I want to approach a song like Friends in Low Places, right? We're all familiar with Garth Brooks, and I don't have the right color hat, but I do have a hat, okay? It's not black, but I do have the microphone, okay? Although I look less like Garth Brooks and more like Pharrell's hat, right? You know, for Happy. Something I've always thought about, right? There was back when this song was hugely popular, and many of you remember when it was hugely popular, right? You couldn't turn on the radio or go to the steakhouse without hearing Friends in Low Places, right? And, there was a time in which churches would take songs that were popular on the radio and try to give them Jesus-y lyrics. Do you remember that? Do you remember there was one for Friends in Low Places? And instead of whiskey, they sang about how the Spirit drowns things and Jesus chases your blues away and all this. And it was fine, but it was silly, right? It wasn't the point of the song, right? It kind of killed the song, right? And it's like, we have Amazing Grace. We don't need Friends in Low Places, right? What I always thought about, now, granted, when this song was popular, I was like 10, okay? So I had no experience with one of these low places of which Mr. Brooks was singing, right? In fact, to this day, I have, you might shock you to know that I have very little bar experience, okay? The one bar I can think of remember going to is when I was in college. I had some friends, and we were all nerds, okay, just freely, you should know this, and we would go to a place called the Thirsty Turtle, and the Thirsty Turtle was in the basement of a building on Franklin Street, and the reason we went there was because they had karaoke. Okay, and so we could stay there like all night and sing karaoke. Now, all but one of us weren't old enough to drink anyway. And so we went and we would all tell them we were the designated driver. We were walking back to the dorm. And so we would get free, like, you know, sodas and stuff. And it was great. And so that was my, like, bar experience, was going and singing karaoke. But here's the thing. What I think is, you listen to the song Friends in Low Places, right? And it's about this guy who he's had a breakup and his old flame has gotten remarried, right? And he shows up at the wedding and he's got his cowboy boots on and all that. And he's supposed to be big and scary. Now, that's funny, almost as funny as, you know, like me trying to be big and scary, right? Like, you look at Garth Brooks and you're like, dude, no, nobody's scared of you, right? But you know, his character shows up at the wedding, and he's uncouth and not fancy, and he scares the guy who's getting ready to get married, right? And he toasts her and says, "I've got friends in low places," right? And by the way, that's why country music is great, because it turns everything upside down, right? You think about it, like it's always, if they say one thing, it means the other. Which is why, in my opinion, Friends in Low Places is the perfect country music song, because it's got friends in low places, which is not what you want. But anyway, what is it that attracts this man, this character, to the place, to the low places, to the bar where the whiskey is there and the beer and all that kind of stuff? Is it just so he can get drunk? I really don't think that that's the reason, right? Why is it that we went to the Thirsty Turtle? Why is it that people show up at 4th of July barbecues? Why is it that we go to sporting events? We go to these places because they give us community, right? We might not like those people at the bar. In fact, they might come from various different socioeconomic level, places. They look different. They think different. They got all kinds of different stuff going on in their lives, but they're all in this low place. They're united by the fact that they're there not to be fancy, not to be right, not to be even thought of as good and special and everything, but just to be together, right? That's where his friends are. They're in the low place, in that bar, where they're not putting on airs. They're not acting like they're fancier than they are. They're not acting like their woman hasn't run off with somebody else or somebody hasn't taken their car and their dog and all that kind of stuff, right? They're just being who they are. And that, to me, is the attraction of that low place, right? You could have that same low place with Diet Coke and lemonade, and you still, as long as you've got those people who are there so that not they're just excited to see you, right? Remember the show Cheers back in the day? Okay, now I'm going to make some of you feel old. I remember my parents watching it and me just kind of like sitting in the floor playing, but I do remember the show, and I remember that, you know, Norm would walk in, right? And what did everybody do? Yeah, everybody's a Norm, right? They're excited that Norm is there. Now, Norm doesn't really contribute anything, right? He just kind of holds a stool down, and he occasionally says a funny thing. But the point is, they were all happy to see him because of who he was. And that's what is so special about any sort of congregating place, what the church could be but isn't always, right? The man in the song, he has his friends in low places, and he is able to go to those friends and know that he'll be accepted, right? He shows up at the fancy party, at the wedding, and they're looking at him like, yeah, what in the world is this guy doing here, right? They're giving him the side eye, and they're saying he's tracking in mud, and he's this, and he's that, there's that ne'er-do-well, but he goes to the low place, and everybody says, hey, how you doing? It's great to have you, right? Jesus has friends in low places, but that's us, right? We are Jesus's friends in low places. Now, I think that we want to always be the ones who are on top. But here's the deal. Jesus, just in order to be among us, right, in order to be incarnate, in order to come and be a person, a human being among us, had to step way down, had to give up all of those, right, all of the accolades, all of the power, all of the glory that was, like in Ron's song, stepping off of his throne to come and to live as one of us and to be hungry and to suffer and to be betrayed and to find, but all the good stuff too, right? While Jesus was here, right, sometimes we focus on all the bad things, right? In the creed, right, Jesus was born, suffered, and died. But in between, he learned friendship. He learned the love of his mother who took care of him, and his father who snuck him away from Bethlehem in the dark of night so that they would survive a crazy king, right? He learned the friendship of the disciples. He learned how to speak and to talk on behalf of God. He learned all that fellowship, right? Imagine those times he spent with the disciples around the fire, eating the corn or the grain that they had pulled out of the fields and ticked people off, right? Imagine all those times that Jesus spent. Those are joyful times, right? Jesus' disciples were his first friends in low places. And when his mom and his brothers show up at the house where Jesus is and he's been teaching, they expect special access to Jesus. And his response is, and I can imagine Jesus getting up in, okay, not the bar, okay, although there was probably wine, okay, that's what people drank, okay, but I can imagine Jesus getting up in the middle of the party and he's saying, who's my mom and who's my brothers? And everybody, we're your brothers, right? They're Jesus' brothers because they've chosen to be with him. They've chosen to walk the path that leads to Jerusalem. They've chosen to follow Jesus. That's what makes them his chosen family. And that is a special thing. Whether that family comes in a low place, whether that family comes at on a bus on the way to a sporting event, whether that family comes on a mission trip or a Sunday school classroom or whatever, that's where we find our people, right? And that's where there's nothing better than coming somewhere and having people excited to see you, right? Happy that you're there. What if the church was that low place where Norm comes in and doesn't have to worry that he's kind of schlubby, right? That's about all I remember about Norm, is that he just was kind of, he was a big dude and he didn't do much. You see him in a fancy place and he's going to stick out like a sore thumb, but at the bar, right, he was one of the crowd. He was one of the group. When we are in the family of Christ, when we're following Jesus, we are in the family. We're welcome at the table. And not just allowed at the table, right? Sometimes we church people will say things like, oh, everybody's welcome. That's great, right? But that's the same thing as saying, well, I didn't lock the door, right? What if everybody was encouraged? What if you were wanted, right? Everybody wants to be people to want them to be there. And that's what's going on, and that's why I think this man wants to be in the low place. Because life gets tough, doesn't it? Life gets hard. We all know this. Some of you are in low places right now. And as you're in that low place, you reach out for something. And sometimes people self-medicate, and they reach out for the substances in the song, right? We reach out for the whiskey and the beer and the pills and the whatever, right? Because we don't know what else to do. But what if we could reach out for Jesus? What if our decision was to make sure that we knew that we were those low places, the low people, the friends in the low place, and that when we just reach out for Jesus, when we decide that we want to be at his party, around his table, then we can get the sustenance and the power that we need to be able to pick up and keep going. And that's what Holy Communion is. That's the opportunity that we have in Holy Communion, is that not that we belly up to the bar and get ready to take too much, right? But that we do participate together, that we, from different places, with different ideas, who look different and think different, come together around one table, knowing that Christ has given his blood, that Christ has come to be among us and broken his body for us, so that we can be brought together into one family, so that we can be reconciled with God. So today, as we go to communion, I give thanks, and I hope you will too, that Christ had friends in low places, and that we are Christ's friends in these low places. Amen.